You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 5th, 2026. It's going to take some use to say that, but here we are. Happy Monday. It's a gorgeous day in Auburn, Opelika. Sun is shining, a little chill in the air, and man, we are excited to be here with tons to talk about on the show today. We're here for the next 2 hours on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. Again, happy Monday. Happy 2026. Our second show of the year. We were back on Friday and covered a ton about the transfer portal and the college football playoff. We previewed some basketball as well. But if you missed us or we missed you on Friday, happy 2026. We're happy you're here. We're happy to be back on the airwaves. Christian, happy Monday, sir. How is everything?
Happy Monday. You said if we missed everybody. We did miss everybody. Over the 20.
You know what I meant. Of course we missed everybody. But if we missed them
most,
on the air.
We missed most of you.
Yeah. You know who you are.
But no, we were happy to have a show on Friday. It obviously caught a couple people by surprise because I guess I'm really bad at delivering news correctly. Yep. After the show on Monday and Tuesday. We need to go back to a couple different shows because we have some disputes. What was the one we had a couple weeks ago? I don't remember exactly.
It was about somebody saying something. You saying something that you claimed to say that I didn't think
it was
you said.
The list of players or somebody. Something. But we do have a bunch of list of players that we're going to dive into here on the show to get the show started here on this Monday. We're talking about big-time returners for the Auburn Tigers. We're talking about early portal news as well, as you are now 3 days into the transfer portal. Only 11 more to go. 11 more to go until nobody else can enter. And then players don't really have a true time of when they have to decide on a school. Obviously, coaches want them to have something figured out by the time spring gets here, so that way you can go through all the spring evaluations and spring practice. But 11 more days of the portal being open. We know Auburn is still waiting for some big names. Auburn fans are waiting for at least another big name or two. We're going to dive into all of that, talk about all of that information. Again, new returners that have been announced both defensively and offensively, where we think both sides of the football are going to look, at least as of right now in 2026. We'll talk about other big, big names that are in the portal that have already found a new home, whether that's for Auburn, whether that's for teams in the SEC, or whether that's just teams and players that you're going to know from last year into the 2026 season that have found a new home. We'll also dive into some Auburn basketball before we get to Jacob Hillman at 3:30. So a really, really fun show on tap for everybody here today.
Yeah, and until Jacob joins us coming up at 3:30, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. Your thoughts on the transfer portal so far for Auburn. Good, bad, somewhere in between. Your thoughts on guys who are returning, your thoughts on guys who are coming in, and maybe some names that, like Christian said, are still up in the air, right? So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And do we want to start with we kind of just have it all grouped together. I'll pose this question to you, and this will be how we start the show, Christian.
Okay.
More excited about the players who have committed to Auburn via the transfer portal, or more excited about players who have announced their return to Auburn by not entering the transfer portal?
From the name perspective, whether that's fair or not, just from the simple standpoint of how big we know retaining is, you're more excited based off of the names that you've seen that have already announced they're returning for 2026 to the Plains, in my opinion. At least as of right now, obviously that could change with a couple big names at a couple big positions, and by no means do the six commits that we have planning on talking about today. Or is it seven now?
I believe seven now, right? With the latest, Gavin Jenkins. Believe that makes seven for Auburn.
I just couldn't say both of those numbers together.
Good call. You can say one, I'll say the other.
Sure, yes. Again, nothing against those guys, just a little bit smaller names from the standpoint of you don't know those names if you haven't done a lot of research, but watching this Auburn team play last year, especially on the defensive side of the football, there's a lot of excitement on that side that I feel like that's where you have to start when you're looking at it from a fan perspective.
Well, we're also starting to see the migration right from South Florida to the Plains. We're seeing that now in motion. You knew it was coming. You knew it was going to happen. We just didn't really know when, and we still don't really know to what extent.
Yeah,
right?
The volume.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know how many guys from South Florida are going to end up at Auburn. I mean, my goodness, you're seeing it right now from Iowa City to – or from Ames to – Happy Valley, from Iowa State to Penn State. I mean, dozens of guys.
You're also seeing it from North Texas to Oklahoma State. You're going to see more and more continue to follow their head coaches, which, again, is a continuously growing trend. And there's a couple teams in the college football playoff that had followed suit for that, and you've seen success on that side of things, too.
Am I crazy to say that I haven't seen a whole lot of news about Utah players going to Michigan? Have I missed a lot of that or have I just not looked into it? I mean, That's a whole different situation, right? We're going to get into more national transfer portal stuff in just a little bit, but that's a completely different situation because of Utah's revenue sharing and private equity deal and things like that, which Michigan can't touch. Michigan's got a lot of money, sure, but that seems to be a different deal. I haven't seen a whole lot of breaking news of guys leaving Utah to go to Michigan. So, of course, Kyle Whittingham, the coach at Utah, who sounds like he was forced out there at Utah, took the head coaching job at Michigan.
Yeah, the way that he openly mentioned that he was now in the transfer portal.
Yeah, wild stuff. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the migration has begun for Auburn getting South Florida players. And it seems like we have the same conversation every time a new coach is hired from one place to the other, where the fan base, and not just Auburn, but the fan base is somewhat upset about the amount of players that come from the previous school to the new school, right?
Especially if it's from a G5 level.
Exactly. It's, they can't. Are these guys good? They weren't good enough to play a P4 team or be on a P4 team. Why do we think they're good enough to be at Auburn? Well, Auburn sucks right now. Okay, Auburn is not in a good spot. Auburn has had losing seasons several times in a row.
Yeah, Auburn's not at a point right now where you can turn your nose up.
No,
to
at all
anything.
You're not even close to being in a position to be like that. And so I want fans to chill out on that front. I think it's been quieter than usual.
I agree.
But there still are some, and it is what it is. But you look at what Auburn has brought in so far via the portal and then the specifics of those guys being from South Florida, a lot of inexperience, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys who are going to step in with several years of eligibility remaining, right? The seven names that we know right now, okay, Lachlan Hewlett, Nakahi Davenport, Christian Neptune, Corey Pettigrew, Jonathan Echols, Gavin Jenkins, and then the Miami of Ohio long snapper. Okay, seven guys have committed so far through the transfer portal. You have a long snapper, you've got a quarterback, you've got a cornerback, you've got a receiver. You have a lot of different guys. You have two receivers, a
tight end, and a running back so far.
And most of those guys are unproven. I think statistically, the guy that stands out the most is Nakahi Davenport. 612 yards, 7 touchdowns as a sophomore running back. But that's not crazy,
no.
Right? That doesn't jump off the page.
It doesn't when you necessarily just look at stats, but then you look at the guy who was in shotgun with him.
Correct. And that's where Auburn seems to be right now. At least Auburn fans are kind of in waiting of, okay, when's the quarterback news drop? When does the wide receiver one news drop? When does the offensive line stuff drop? Right? Auburn fans are waiting on that. But I think overall, the guys you have brought in so far, and Auburn is not done, okay? The portal's been open for, what, Friday, again, Saturday, Sunday, 3.5 days?
Yeah.
We're 3.5 days in. Auburn is not done. More is on the way. But I like the guys that, yeah, I said.
I think we ain't done yet.
I think Auburn is going to be okay, but I like what they've brought in so far. And we just have to wait and see what Alex Golish and his staff want to do, right? And most of these are offensive, which you would expect, especially given what Auburn has brought back defensively. More on that in the next segment. But I like what Auburn has done so far. You seem to have brought in a quarterback to develop, possibly for the future. You've brought in a running back to at least step in the room and compete and see what he can do, possibly be RB1 if he steps up and wins the job. You bring in two receivers who are raw and young, redshirted a year ago, bring them in and see what they can do. You bring in a corner who redshirted, who has multiple years of eligibility. And you bring in a tight end that Auburn seems to never use properly. But you have a new staff, and who knows what will happen there. So far, nothing groundbreaking, but Auburn has finally started. And I want to remind fans, too, how they felt for what seemed to be a week or a week and a half of so-and-so plans to enter their name into the transfer portal. So-and-so from Auburn plans to enter their name in the transfer portal. So-and-so from Auburn plans to enter their name from the transfer portal. Right, and that list just grew and grew and grew. And Auburn fans were getting unrestful. They were starting to stir in their chair a little bit. And we said, just hold up, just wait, it's going to be all right. And I'm not saying this is groundbreaking yet, but this is a good start for Auburn, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good start. You mentioned the offensive players that you bring in, excluding Gavin Jenkins just from this standpoint. But again, it adds to the point, he is a redshirt freshman. Davenport will be a junior. Christian Neptune, 5'11", 190, was a freshman, caught 38 passes, had 335 yards, caught a touchdown, played really well in that bowl game against Old Dominion. He's going to be a sophomore. Corey Pettigrew will be a redshirt freshman. Jonathan Eccles, again, a 6'6", 235-pound sophomore tight end at the time, will only be a junior. And so you're bringing guys in that will be able to develop, will continue to get better, and you're getting guys in positions to where it's not going to be those one-year type of guys, right? I mean, how excited were we a couple of years ago? And yes, the receiver room is going to look very different next year, but how excited were we to sit there and look at it and say, man, look at how young this room is. Look at the growth that you're going to see from this room. You now feel like you have that with the guys you've brought in and the guys that just announced over the weekend that they are coming back for 2026. It's going to be a very, very young room rather than the defensive side of the football, which you mentioned we'll get to here momentarily. Looks like it has a little bit more of that veteran leadership, a little bit more of the upperclassmen that are going to just absolutely dominate with that experience. The offense, man, give it to Alex Golish and let him go to work.
And so if you look at what Auburn is bringing in right now, what they have committed through the transfer portal, again, a quarterback, two receivers, long snapper, tight end, running back, and cornerback. What positions do you think at the moment Auburn still needs to go after? Maybe even in a ranking system, if you will, of positions of need for Auburn right now, who obviously still has work to do. And I'm telling you, they're going to triple what they already have. But what positions do you feel like, Christian, that the Tigers still need to go after, given what they've brought in, plus what's returning?
Offensively, defensively, or just in general?
In general, I guess, because then this will lead us into the next segment of what's coming back, because sure, my goodness, the names that Auburn has salvaged over the last week or so is incredible and should be applauded.
Well, S-tier, number one, highlighted, whatever you want to say, that quarterback spot is obviously the most important point we'll get to Again, the Byron Brown rumblings, maybe Deuce Knight rumblings that we've heard as well. Again, we'll dive into that as the show and as the week goes on. But the quarterback spot is still 1A for me, and I think a very close 1B is the offensive line, right? Again, you announced a couple of the returners, a couple of the guys that are planning on coming back, really young guys that you expect to make a big impact. But we've seen what a $5 million offense around the offensive line looked like. I think there needs to be a little bit more focus within the offensive line, and I think that's what you're seeing, A, with those returners, and then B, the guys that you're expecting to hear about in the transfer portal, because, man, I'd much rather have redshirt freshman, sophomore, and maybe some underproven junior wide receivers, but go get an established offensive line that you feel like is going to be able to bring confidence, especially if you get your desires with that quarterback position, because you can only do so much. Auburn fans know this more than anything. It doesn't matter what you have, throwing or running the football or even catching the football, if they don't have time to run a three-step drop.
Yeah, and in terms of the offensive line, Auburn had several guys in over the weekend. They have several guys scheduled to visit, including one from LSU, one from Alabama. They had a couple of guys on campus this weekend as well, a James Madison transfer, a Kansas State transfer on the offensive line was on campus this weekend. And so Auburn is going after some dudes on the line. And
totally, I guess I should know this. Are we confirmed on when Jace Brown is visiting, the Kansas State receiver?
That I saw the other day. I don't remember exactly what day that was supposed to be or if that was confirmed or not.
He is visiting LSU today with Sam Levitt.
Ooh.
The two of them are together at LSU today.
Man, I missed Sam Levitt taking a visit to LSU. How about that? Well, you saw Arizona State got his replacement already.
Yeah. Cutter Bowley.
It's an interesting pickup for them.
It is, but
I think he's going to be good.
You were relatively impressed with what you saw from Bowley in that Wildcat offense.
Yeah, and if there's somebody to fix him, it's Kenny Dillingham in the Arizona State offense that just lets you do whatever you want to. So, yeah, that was wild stuff, but God, so he's visiting LSU with Sam Levitt today? Yikes.
That, which is weird, again, because Levitt entered with a do not contact clause.
Yeah, but yet I've seen like three different updates about schools that he's wanting to talk to and go visit. So
unless that was a do not contact me unless I contact you.
Do not contact unless you're offering X amount of money. This is my bottom dollar, which we're going to get to some crazy stories about that today as well, about the money that's being thrown around right now. It's remarkable to see. But just wanted to tell Auburn fans that offensive linemen are visiting and scheduled to visit for the Tigers, because I agree with you. I think quarterback is still the most important. The offensive line is right there with it. I'm glad the Tigers have already brought in a running back. I think you need to go get another one, just being completely honest. I think because of you losing Damari Alston and Darrell Robinson, right? Darrell Robinson announced yesterday or the day before that he was entering the transfer portal. You are trying to go get a couple of guys. You're bringing in several P4 running backs to visit, right? Jaheim White is somebody to keep an eye on from West Virginia. Mekhi Frazier is another one from Michigan State. Keep an eye on those guys. And so offensively, you need a quarterback. You need offensive linemen. I think you need another running back. And then let's just state the obvious. You got to have some guys to throw the football to, because you've lost a ton of those. Now, there's some good news on that front, which we're going to talk about coming up next. And then defensively, you may not need a whole lot of help in the portal. You're bringing in a couple of guys, sure, but the defense is going to be just fine. We talk about that coming up next as we're just off and running here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'd love to hear from you if you have thoughts on Auburn football in the transfer portal, good, bad, or anything in between. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. Guys or positions that you would like to see Auburn continue to go after in the transfer portal, maybe some names that you're sad to see go for Auburn because the list has continued to grow. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And while the news of players leaving through the portal is sad at times, and the list of guys coming in is beginning to slowly grow for Auburn, I think you and I are in agreement, Christian, and I think most people probably are. It's the list of guys who are not leaving that stands out to me. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Auburn's defense next year in 2026, led by none other than DJ Durkin, one of the best defensive coordinators in college football, the defense is going to be just fine.
I mean, why would you want this period to go any other way, right? To where you expect there to be more names offensively than defensively to enter and to find new homes, but then also to come in for this offense next year. Again, the defense is going to be led by a whole bunch of veterans, and it's names that we've already talked about, and it's so funny because we have names that have announced that they are returning just from our show Friday that we didn't mention, that even if it was just that list, you would be pumped up about it. But then you go back and you look at the list that's already been created of guys returning from before the transfer portal even opened or now that continue to remove their names from the portal. Here is what the guys look like defensively. We've mentioned Xavier Atkins. We've mentioned DeMarcus Riddick. We've mentioned Malik Autry. We've mentioned Jordan Crawford. We've mentioned Elijah Melendez. And we mentioned Bryce Diaz. Those names right there.
That in itself
are
is incredible.
Incredible. Then, I believe it was late Friday night, it was Anquan Fagans and Eric Winters that announced together.
That's so awesome.
That basically said, hey guys,
we're back.
Your safeties are here.
Yeah, we're back. Two of the best in the SEC. Literally, two of the best in the SEC, Anquan Fagans and Eric Winters. And I still can't get over that Eric Winters is built like a linebacker. Like, that dude's insane.
Yeah, we talked about that from spring ball, and then we were on the field, again, plenty of times, but watched him warm up right in front of us for the Iron Bowl. And it was just, holy cow. That does not look like one of those stereotypical safeties that you see. That looked like one of those early 2010 outside linebackers. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you see right there. But again, Atkins, Riddick, Autry, Crawford, Melendez, Diaz. The linebacker room, solid. The defensive line unit continues to grow. And then the safeties now announcing together that, hey, your backfield is okay. Your backfield's going to be fine. You then wake up and you get Blake Woodby news. Another really good cornerback.
Which was not anticipated.
No.
I wasn't confident in that, I guess. I wasn't overly concerned, but it was one that I really just like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And great news there, too.
It was. And then you get the news that the edge rusher is coming back of Jared Smith.
This was awesome.
And that is not necessarily the most impactful news, but golly, you saw what he did as a freshman, and you heard every single coach talk about it of, yeah, maybe this guy should be on the field a little bit more than he was. The only thing keeping him off the field was his jersey number of 41, which you feel like didn't necessarily fit, but my goodness. You talk about the talent that he brings from the edge position, and again, all of these guys are coming back with meaningful minutes, a lot of them underclassmen as well, whether that be for better or for worse, that had to play so much as young guys. But those are your leaders now on the defensive side of the football that you can now pick and choose your spots of guys that you want to attack, guys that you want to go get in this transfer portal period. But my goodness, you don't feel like there's any big-time holes that – oh, gosh, we need four middle linebackers. We need to fill this unit. We need to fill this room when, honestly, you felt like that could have been a little bit of a concern last year in the transfer portal because even going into the season last year, it was, how is the defensive line and the linebacker unit going to look?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the biggest question mark. We talked about the DBs and the safeties being the strength of the defense, and they were up until third down and 8 or third down and 12, but yeah, seeing all of these names on a list really, really get you fired up. And then knowing that you still have DJ Durkin as your defensive coordinator now as well.
I mean, I don't think you could have drawn it up any better because you were going to lose guys regardless,
yes.
Right? That's what we talked about on Friday in our first show of the year was turnover is imminent. All right, it's going to happen with a new head coach. But this is part of the reason, not the whole reason, but part of the reason you kept DJ Durkin. And it seems like Alex Golish said, you handle that side of the football, I'll handle everything else. And that started with retention in the transfer portal, and you retained, I mean, without doing the actual math, I'd say 75% of your defensive guys. You still lost some dudes, right? Jay Crawford leaving, yeah, that hurts. Go be great, kid. Go play at Ohio State and do what you want to do, right? But Auburn's going to be just fine defensively, and when you're returning a sophomore, former five-star defensive end in Jared Smith, who, by the way, in case people have forgot, is 6'6" and 260 pounds. You return somebody like that, plus senior leadership like Xavier Atkins and everybody in between, you're going to be all right on defense, which means Auburn can now focus on filling the gaps on offense, where they definitely have some, but a couple of names who have returned for Auburn. We'll talk about that, plus what else is going on in the transfer portal outside of this town as well. We're 30 minutes into hour number one.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us back on the air full time after some much needed time off. We were back on Friday, but in case you missed us there, we are back today and back to a normal schedule for quite some time. And continuing to talk about the transfer portal where Auburn has started to get active, Auburn football that is, started to get active in the portal right up to 7 additions in the portal, and believe 6 of them are from South Florida. And so they have begun to make their way from South Florida up to Auburn, which we knew would be the case. We figured there will probably be more as well. But we were talking before we went to break about, I call them additions. When a coaching change happens and you retain players, I call that an addition to your team. Because when one coach leaves and another one shows up, I don't know what the average is across college football. This would be a stat that I wish somebody had, and if you can find it, please let us know. What do you think, Christian, the percentage is of players that leave a program when a new head coach is hired today in college football? What do you think that percentage is? I mean, 80, 85%? Of the current players on a team that leave via the portal when one coach is fired and another one is hired?
I probably wouldn't go that high because you don't see teams having to bring in 70, 80 guys.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But
over 50%.
I would say right around 50 or 60%. Maybe it goes down to 40 or 50 with some persuasion, right? I think that number is a lot higher for the 4- and 5-star athletes, though.
I was going to say my follow-up to that was going to be impact players.
Yes.
Starters, too deep type of guys.
Yes, that number is a little bit higher than the mean average just because you know that every single school is giving those players calls, whether you've entered the transfer portal or not, because how easy is it to sell your fifth-year head coach that's has a 75% winning percentage and a trip to the college football playoff last year and an SEC championship or a Big Ten championship to wave over your head versus the look at the risk that you're having to play with next year. You don't want to trust this side of things. Come trust our proven program, right? I mean, everybody gets those phone calls. Yeah, I would say that number is much higher for the 4- and 5-star guys that see the field 50, 60 snaps a game.
And where I'm going with that is a new coach comes in, right, and most of those guys leave. A high percentage of your starters or two deep players, guys who have significant impact on the team, most of them leave. And so any of them that you're able to keep or retain, right, that's the word that's used now, anybody that you retain on a team when there's a coaching change, I count that as a straight-up addition. I count that as an addition because it's not a guarantee that they come back. It's not a guarantee in today's world especially, but especially with a coaching change, right? There is no guarantee. The numbers say there's a greater chance that they leave than they come back.
Yeah.
And so I count that as an add, as an addition, as a plus to your team. And the idea that you've dang near kept an entire starting 11 on defense, plus a couple of guys for depth as well, is truly a miracle. On top of the couple of names that we now know offensively that are leaving, which obviously that side of the football has seen a greater departure rate than the defense because new coordinator, new offensive head coach, and things like that.
Or at least those impact guys.
Right. But the names we know that are coming back, Jacoby Ward, Cale Ellis, which I think has flown under the radar, Bryce Kane, which was surprising.
And my guy.
And your guy, Sam Turner, who initially was entering the portal.
Yeah.
He may have actually entered the portal fully and then said, nah, just kidding. I'm coming back.
That was the one for me that really hurt. Again, being an Atlanta native, I heard about this kid especially his junior year and then his senior year of just what you are expecting, what you were looking at when you watched him play. And was actually able to talk to a couple of my buddies that are working their way up in that Atlanta tree of coaching and asking legitimate questions of, okay, yes, we only see three stars next to his name. Is that legit? And they were saying no. This dude is going to be really, really good. We watched him in spring games. We watched him in practice and how good he looked, as did Bryce Kane. I mean, Bryce Kane was one of the leaders, and it sounds like a slap in the face or a backhanded compliment, but it's just not. Was one of the most electrifying practice guys last year, just based off of the speed, based off of his ability to playmake with the ball in his hands. I fully expect a very big year, a very big jump from Bryce Kane and Sam Turner as well. Being able to work your way into the two deep, if not seeing starting snaps, going to be a very, very big impact, those two on the receiver side of things.
Who would have thought, right, that at this point in the beginning of 2026, that Bryce Kane would be the last man standing of what was the Freeze Four.
Yeah.
Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, all gone. All in the portal, going to find new homes. Bryce Kane's the only one that has hung around. And I'm not calling out the other guys or blaming the other guys, just saying what a fact that he's the only one left.
We always thought that Bryce had the biggest ceiling, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he has a chance. I think there's a chance for something special with Bryce Kane. What a story that would be, right?
Maybe not nationally, but from the Auburn perspective.
Yeah, because let's look back to what that four receiving group was. Is it safe to say he was the fourth one on that list?
Easily.
That he was the bottom of the excitement chain. He was still an awesome receiver and still had a high ranking and was still a beast in high school, but
he was the rut of the litter.
He was overshadowed, yeah. How cool of a story could that be, Christian? If the other guys come here and then they leave for obvious reasons and we want them to be great, and I think all three of them absolutely can be, but Bryce Kane to be the one to stick it out and make something of his Auburn career and end up making a name for himself on the Plains. I think that would be really cool. And I think he's good enough and talented enough and now in an offense and a coaching staff that can make him special for this team. Because he clearly didn't get any better. None of the receivers, none of them got better at Auburn. None of them. Of the Freeze Four, right? Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane. Did any of them get better from the day they got here to the day they left?
I think you can go further back than that.
You can go other positions than that, right?
Yeah.
You can go wider and further than that, no doubt. But just to talk about this in a vacuum for a second, none of them got better during their 2 years here, which is sad. That's really sad. And it's embarrassing not for them in particular, but for the previous regime and what Auburn wasted during the Hugh Freeze era. But Bryce Kane has a chance to just delete all of that.
Yeah.
And really make something of his Auburn career. And good for him for wanting to stick it out. Again, I'm not blaming the other three for leaving. Those three guys are going to go be their own somewhere else, have a chance to be wide receiver one somewhere else, and get to the pros somewhere else. I don't blame them for telling Auburn, look, I love you, but this ain't working. This ain't working out, right? Bryce Kane has a chance to make a name for himself here and be in a receiving group that we simply don't know what it looks like right now. And I think that's kind of cool. I really do. I think that could be a really neat story for Bryce Kane. One of the four offensive guys we know that's coming back, Sam Turner, Bryce Kane, Cale Ellis, and then Jacoby Ward, the four offensive guys for Auburn who have announced their return, and then a bunch of defensive guys as well. So Auburn has done a fairly good job, I would say, of retainment through the transfer portal. So
yeah, I, and again, I think you're still looking for that one Keandre Lambert-Smith-esque type of guy that can be that veteran leader, whether that's Keyshawn Singleton from South Florida, whether that's a couple of these other big-name receivers that are in the transfer portal. But going back to Bryce Kane, I mean, yeah, that story would feel like one of the walk-on stories that end up getting that starting job as the quarterback, somebody similar to that storyline, just because of him sticking it out, him seeing it through. I know he's posted on Instagram of him being lonely, the graphics of him and all by himself, like the Will Smith emoji or the Will Smith thing from
Fresh Prince
of him standing in the living room and nobody else was there. Yeah, and so that's been his mindset, but good for him for sticking it out, and we sure hope that everything works out. Let's get to the phone lines here for the first time here on this Monday afternoon, 334-321-1390. Spectre, what say you here on this Monday afternoon?
Well, I say you guys fixing to go on break.
No, you got some time. What's up?
All right, good. Why are we losing so many? Well, actually, we're losing the receiver room. We lost the quarterback room. And are we saying that they have no faith in this new coach? Or what are we saying? Is it all NIL?
I think it's a mixture of everything, Spectre. I really do. I think NIL definitely plays a factor here. That plays a factor for every player now in college football, unfortunately. But I think for Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels, Deuce Knight, the three quarterbacks, and then the receivers that you're talking about, and the ones we've mentioned as well, Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Horatio Fields is in that group as well. I just think they've all kind of been there, done that. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with the new coach and the new staff. I think they are in the mindset of Auburn didn't do it for us, and we don't have time to wait around and hope that this new staff can work out here. We've got to go somewhere where an offense is established, where a coach is established, a system is established, and try to make a name for ourselves and get to the next level. And I just don't think they have time to wait around at Auburn for that to happen.
You're absolutely right. And that gets to the point about the offensive line. I always talk about the offensive line, and I don't care if anybody doesn't want to hear it or not, but that's the problem with Auburn University. It's been that way ever since Malzahn. It was that way with Harson. It's that way with Freeze. And if they do not get an experienced offensive line, now I ain't talking about people in the portal that the linemen are jumping in the portal and not being vetted. I don't want somebody else's problems that a guy keeps jumping off sides on the snap and all that stuff and illegal procedure and crap like that.
He just couldn't hear, Spectre. He just couldn't hear.
What?
I said he just couldn't hear he couldn't hear, Spectre, that's all.
Well, we need somebody with ears then. But Jesus. I mean, you know, we need linemen that can execute. And that's why we're losing players year in and year out. Receivers are going somewhere where there's an offensive line. I can tell you right now that Coleman will probably end up at A&M because that's where he was going in the beginning.
Yeah, they're and one of the schools, for sure.
And then when they lost their head coach, he ended up going to Auburn. And I don't know why that decision was made because we didn't have an offensive line when he made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Cam Coleman loved Auburn. I think that's why he spent 2 years on the Plains. I think Cam Coleman and his family loved Auburn more than anything, and that's why, for a guy like him, it hurts that it didn't work out. But you're right. You're absolutely right, Spectre. It starts in the trenches, and Auburn, for whatever reason, the last two and a half coaches, the end of the Malzahn era, Brian Harsin and Hugh Freeze, they didn't figure that out, and they all got fired because of it.
Well, it ain't like they couldn't figure it out. We had people like me, people like you, that's telling them like it is and holding nothing back. And why ain't they doing something about it?
I don't know. It's easier said than done, obviously, but I refuse to believe that it's that hard to go find competent offensive linemen that, you're right, don't jump off sides three times in a row and complain about hearing problems or just completely whiff on blocks or don't know what the play call is and can't work as a unit. I think a lot of that too, Spectre, to be quite honest with you, I think a lot of that goes to development too. I don't think Auburn has just been that poor at recruiting offensive linemen, whether it's high school or the transfer portal. I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of development too.
Once again, you're right, and that's another story. We don't have the right coaches to develop these people. I mean, we've got names of offensive line coaches coming in here. They're good guys, and all they know what to do. Plus, they love Auburn. But can they coach? Can they coach? Can they develop linemen? Can they develop any players?
Well, we're going to find out.
An AD and company, they need to start vetting people properly. I mean, if this was a multi-million dollar, which it is, a company, you wouldn't be going out there hiring people you don't know if they could produce or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And you know, that's the good thing about a new staff, because most of the new coaches are on the offensive side of the football, right? It's a new offensive line coach, Tyler Hudnick, who's the run game coordinator and the offensive line coach. He's the new guy for Auburn, and we'll see how he does.
And you know, one thing we need to do, and nobody talks about it, is the strength coach. You know, back in the early 2000s, back when Dye was there, we had a strength coach that built people up. That we had people that were small in stature, but they could move people off the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got to go, guys. I'll let you go.
Appreciate it, Specter. Great points as always, my friend. 334-321-1390. And, yeah, I mean, the offensive line, it's got to be better. I mean, it's been poor. It's been poor for a long time. We have this conversation, it seems like, quite a bit, especially when Spectre brings it up because he's so passionate about it, and rightfully so. When is the last good, complete unit on the offensive line that Auburn had?
Easier answer is, how many times have we talked about this being a top five unit in the SEC, top three units in the SEC? There's questions, but man, on paper, this looks like it could be a strength for this Auburn offense.
I've been wrong about that before. Very, very wrong about that. So, okay, we do have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to the phone lines. We got a caller on hold. We'll get to you and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, let's get to the phone lines to wrap up hour number one, 334-321-1390. John and Auburn, appreciate you holding on through the break, my man. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Hey, can I play, instead of my second favorite game, which is the what-if game, may I play my favorite game, the Auburn conspiracy game?
Yes. Haven't played this one in a while. What's on your mind?
Okay, so after Hugh Freeze was fired, given a few weeks, he came out with, I think, a couple interviews, maybe right after the hiring of Alex Golish. I know David Pollack had one. Mm-hmm. Can't remember. A couple media people got, you know, exclusive Hugh Freeze interviews.
Yeah.
And I remember in one of them, a question was asked, like, what's the number one thing that you want to see Coach Golish do at Auburn? And his answer was, keep the roster together. That hasn't happened. But may I submit to you just an idea that had the roster been maintained, that would have really allowed Freeze more job opportunities in the future than he may have now. Because now it looks like that he overpaid for a roster and that all people had to do was go in and say, hey, I want more money. and for the PR and headlines they were keeping him. I think what's happened to this roster has done nothing but hurt Freeze's future coaching possibilities.
Well, it makes it, John, it's a really good point. It makes it to where it's simply, especially on the offensive side of the football, seeing all of the departures after Freeze is leaving and now with Alex Golish and the guys that he's bringing in, if Auburn has any sort of competent offense, like what you're saying, you can't point any sort of finger in the positive blame of, okay, well, this is still what Hugh Freeze built.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be really interesting if he coaches again, and if so, where. And I would lean more toward, I find it difficult that his next job would be a P4 hire.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I can't speak for another grown man, but I just feel like another coaching job doesn't make sense for Hugh Freeze. It doesn't to me. I mean, I think that ship has sailed. I compare it to a Jimbo Fisher, maybe not on the same level, but pretty darn close. It's like, man, we've seen it. Like, you don't have it anymore, right? You're not built for this anymore. Take your money, enjoy your family, enjoy your life, and just ride off into the sunset. That's what I would do, but easier said than done, right?
And if I may offer just very, very quickly before the break.
Sure.
One thing I would see him perhaps doing is, remember how Jerry Kill, after he left Minnesota, I think he wound up at New Mexico State as like a executive assistant or a Ron Rivera role at, I think, Cal. Like, that's the kind of position I could see Freeze having a lot of success in. But I agree with you. I think with the roster turnover, I think coaching may be out of the picture.
Yeah, I think so. John, appreciate the call, my man. Good to hear from you as always. And starting off in the new year, Ron Rivera, name I have not heard about in a long time.
Well, it's another great point, too, because that was what we talked about. If Auburn just kind of was mediocre in the back half of the season, of it being the conversation of it's time to move on from Hugh Freeze as the Auburn head coach, however, an analyst role or the recruiting role or that GM that we still feel like is, whichever college is the first one to make that overall jump of this guy is going to be the general manager that is in charge of the business decisions.
Well, I mean, you've seen colleges do it already. Several have general managers and recruiting coordinators and things like that. It just, we haven't seen the long-term benefits.
You haven't seen the long-term benefits, and it's not necessarily that one big name. It's more of a couple of,
like, North Carolina's got one and some of those. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the – if Bill Belichick was to be the – move to the GM role, that would be one of the biggest ones.
Oh, I got you.
If Hugh Freeze was to move into – yeah, there's those roles, but not necessarily that name
to
fill the role. That's what – I mean, we talked about it with Auburn. If that could have been the case, obviously it didn't work out. And hopefully now from this standpoint, it's for the better. But recruiting is the one thing he always had working for him. That's the next job, if that's what it needs to be, it is what it is. But man, what a fun hour.
Yeah, no doubt. We have more coming up in hour number two. Great question from Eric in Auburn in our on the line text box. We'll address that to start the second hour, plus transition into a little basketball talk as well as the Tigers start 0-1 in SEC play, plus Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, all coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. We appreciate you being with us. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. And a really fun first hour of the show flew by on this Monday afternoon. If you missed any of it.
Is this also something new we're going with? The new
yeah.
For
yeah.
the foreseeable future? Or was this the...
I don't know. We're trying it out. I don't know if I just I don't know if I have the, you know, the hold it part anymore. I'm getting old, man.
Sure.
You know.
Just didn't know.
New year, new intro. I don't know. I don't know. We'll take reviews on it and see how it goes. It's really more for the days that my voice is struggling and I'm trying to hold that and I just don't have it anymore, man.
Instead of hitting the hold, it's just yell into the mic. I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just going to pre-record one and just play that every time. It could work. Nobody would know. Magic of radio. No, if you missed any of hour number one, we had a ton of fun. Talked all things transfer portal for Auburn football, the good, the bad, and a lot of things as well. Good questions, good phone calls, good text messages as well. All of that was in hour number one. You can always go back and listen to old shows or any parts of the shows that you missed. You can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. Or, again, wherever you get your podcast, talked about the additions for Auburn, the subtractions for Auburn, the retainments for Auburn. Tons of news there and a ton of great content coming up in hour number two.
It is. In hour number two, we're talking a couple of questions from our text box that had, again, a lot of action in the first hour. We're going to get to some of those and answer those here in hour number two. We're also going to talk a little bit of Auburn basketball, maybe a little bit in there with Jacob Hillman, who's going to join us at 3:30 as he does every single Monday. But for the first 30 minutes, the phone lines are open if you would like to be a part of the conversation, a part of the show at 334-321-1390. The text box always open as well at 334-784-1067. And before we get to Eric's question, which we're going to dive into because it is a really good question, and it's a very polar opposite question of what you see with Auburn versus what you see in college football, and just the question that you feel like you're having to answer. Immediate thoughts on Packers and Bears as the playoffs are set.
I'm
and then
so excited.
Vintage Aaron Rodgers last night.
They were just showing the highlights up there on ESPN here in the studio of last night's Sunday night football game. That was awesome.
Is that a bittersweet? Are you an Aaron Rodgers fan or are you a Packers fan? Like, where? I guess I should know this.
I said it when the rumblings began, right, on his way out of Green Bay. When he was with the Packers, Aaron Rodgers was my guy. Now, I will say, Brett Favre was my first quarterback.
Sure.
He was the QB when I started watching the Packers. Really liked Brett Favre. Was a big fan of his. Became a Packers fan. Then got to watch Aaron Rodgers bring a Super Bowl to Green Bay.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers was my dude. But when that started going down and the writing was on the wall that Rodgers was going to leave, I said, when he leaves, I'm done. I'm done. Because I loved him, loved the guy, but he's a drama queen, and he's got a lot of baggage. He's got a lot going on, right? The dude sits in dark rooms for months at a time and doesn't talk to anybody. He's kind of a weirdo, but I loved him when he was in Green Bay. But I did claim that when he left, I was done. And so
you are not an individual over the program or over the organization?
Oh, no. Packers for life, man. Not that I want to see him fail, but
right.
I'm not actively cheering for Rodgers because I have Green Bay in my heart. No, yeah. I'm a Packers guy through and through. And so, that game last night was kind of crazy. Missed field goal by the Steelers under a minute to play. Then the Ravens come down on a big play, 4th and 8 or whatever it was, and Lamar Jackson drops one between two DBs for Pittsburgh, puts them in field goal range. Nothing can go wrong, right? All you need is a field goal to win the game, win the division, and go into the playoffs. And here comes the rookie. Here he comes. Jogging out.
Had been great all year.
No pressure, right? On the road, game-winning field goal in the NFL was pretty much in gimme chip shot range. And just like my driver off the tee box. Off to the right, buddy. Pushed that sucker into the trees. and Pittsburgh wins the division, they'll host the Houston Texans in the NFL playoffs. So, yeah, that was pretty crazy. Packers-Bears, just quickly, we won't talk about this long. I love it. I need my Packers to turn it on. They've lost four straight, which is not exciting, but Jordan Love hasn't played in several weeks. Packers played their third-string quarterback on Sunday, including every backup imaginable, because the game didn't matter against the Vikings. But, yeah, Saturday night, Packers-Bears, Soldier Field in Chicago. Doesn't get better than that.
No.
Packers are the better team. They're the better team. I'm not even sweating it. Packers win. I don't know what the betting line is, but bet it. I don't care. It's probably Bears minus 3 or 4. Take the Packers money line. If you want to win some money Saturday, if you're into that sort of thing, Packers.
This is not financial advice.
No, don't take advice from me. But I love it. I mean, what more could you ask for, though, in the NFL playoffs, even if it's not Packers-Bears, a divisional matchup in the wild card? It's incredible. Bears won the division. Packers going to Chicago. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. It's Saturday night. Auburn basketball plays Arkansas at 5. We'll get done with that. I'll be able to go and watch the Packers game right after. It's going to be incredible. Cannot wait.
What I see right now, Chicago by 1.5.
Yep. Hammer the Packers. Packers will be favored by the time that thing kicks off. Not really.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
But no, some great games. I mean, you have Bills, Jags, noon game, 49ers, Eagles. Duval. You have Chargers, Patriots.
Yeah.
Jaguars have all of a sudden become a team to look out
for. Dude, they're playing good. Yeah, they're playing good on both sides of the football. Bo Nix in Denver, the number one seed in the AFC. That defense is legit. Also, I heard a stat. One of the guys dropped it on the broadcast yesterday on one of the games. I forget. The Super Bowl, do you know where it's at this year? It's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Do you remember the last time the Super Bowl was in San Francisco? It was in 2015. Do you know who won the Super Bowl that year? A defensive-led Denver Broncos team won the Super Bowl that year. So, watch out.
An even weirder stat that we talked about obviously didn't happen with the Seahawks winning, but if the 49ers would have won the game to clinch the NFC, they would not have had to travel the entire postseason.
For the rest of the year. They would not have hopped on a plane of the year. They would have hosted throughout the playoffs, and the Super Bowl was in their home stadium. So, pretty crazy stuff there. But, yeah, NFL playoffs start on Saturday. I believe one game Saturday, which is Packers-Bears, triple-header Sunday, and a game on Monday.
There's two games Saturday.
You're right.
Rams-Panthers.
Yeah, so two games Saturday, three games Sunday, game on Monday. Phenomenal. Great stuff there for the NFL. But, also coming up this weekend, college basketball, which we'll talk about coming up in just a few minutes in our next segment before we get into Jacob Hillman. But Eric and Auburn, I hope you're still listening, my friend, because you sent us a text probably 30 or 40 minutes ago, but you're a loyal listener. You know we don't have any timing rules and can't stay on track. And
more importantly, he'll be tuned in to the Lee Scott Sports Network tonight.
He will. Yeah, you are back on the air. You ready for that?
We'll find out.
Yeah, my first game.
We'll remember
back
that it's basketball,
Friday.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah, you'll be exhausted and out of breath by halftime of the girls' game because I'll be the same way on Friday. But Eric and Auburn texted us in our on-the-line text box, which is open at 334-784-1067. Hit us up there with your comments, questions, or concerns. You can also call us at 334-321-1390.
Sorry, I just got a text from one of the unnamed Lee Scott basketball players. It's a damn right he will be.
Oh, God. Well,
is class out yet, bro?
It's 3 o'clock. Yeah, I think they're out.
That's funny.
So we were talking about the transfer portal, right? And Eric and Auburn proposed a question about the direction and the strategy that Auburn should or could use moving forward in the portal. He says, I've come full circle, and I'm now all in for the new system that Auburn is going for, okay?
A growing opinion.
Yeah,
I think so. Or growing belief.
Yeah, I think so. And he proposes a would you rather. He says, would you guys rather build a few elite stars at key positions, right? Build a roster with a few superstars at key spots, quarterback, receiver, linebacker, defensive line, whatever.
Sure.
Pick whatever positions you want to. Or a roster full of solid players handpicked for your system. He says, especially now that the NFL shows great offensive coaches and strong offensive lines can elevate even average skill players. Example, the Jaguars, the Bears, and the Patriots. And he says, assuming that you can't have it all, right?
Sure,
you can't have elite guys at all the positions and solid guys all around them, right? Which would you rather do? And I think the answer is obvious.
The latter.
Correct.
Easily.
Because I would rather build a system with solid players at every position, hand-picked. This is the key for me. Hand-picked for your system.
Yeah. Even from the Auburn standpoint, just to be having some sort of clarity on what the system is going to be. Because I think that is a big conversation on the receiver side of things. I think that's an even bigger conversation on the quarterback and the offensive line. Because, again, do I think that the Auburn transfers that came in last year were terrible? No. Did they perform terribly? Sometimes. But a lot of that, I truly believe, is because of the system. Is because half the time, I'm sure the offensive line didn't even know what to do because we have proof that the quarterbacks didn't even know what to do. I think it makes it easier. You pick the latter. You go get a bunch of solid guys. You're looking at college football as a whole. It's exactly what it is. Indiana's the perfect example of that. You have 2- and 3-star guys from James Madison that are coming and now playing in the college football playoff semifinals because of a system, because of a scheme, because of coaches that elevate you and that continue to build everything up. And the biggest point that I want to make is you've already experienced the former side of the question for Auburn. You went and got the star receiver. You went and got the star receivers, or you got the star quarterback. And what was the biggest problem for Auburn last year? Even from the year before. It was Auburn throwing the football because if they didn't get the guys their money, they didn't get the guys that they promised that were going to get snaps, that were going to get catches, you felt a pressure to make sure that you delivered to the star players rather than just playing football the way that it should be played. You felt like in the back of your head, Cam only has 2 grabs. We got to get him the ball, which is not a bad thing at Cam, but a perfect example of that was just what you saw at Baylor versus what you saw the rest of the year.
Yeah.
In the back of every single offensive player's head, in the back of Hugh Freeze's mind, it was, we have to make sure we get this guy the football or these guys the football because that's what we promised. Otherwise, they might get angry.
Well, and that just shows that your program was staggered and built incorrectly.
Yes.
Right? Your base, your foundation was crap. And Alex Golish and company are trying to fix that, which is what Eric mentioned at the beginning of his text about, I'm coming around to how they're operating now, which is incentive-built NIL, to where you don't have a pressure with that. It's how the NFL works. Isn't it? Isn't that how the NFL works? You make a certain amount of money per game, per season on your contract for however many years, but if you get 1,200 yards as a running back, or you get 58 grabs as a tight end, or you make so many field goals as a kicker, you get bonuses?
You mean almost what NIL was supposed to be?
Wait, huh. NIL wasn't supposed to be paying $5 million for a 1-year rental at quarterback?
And challenging every single system to, hey,
do something.
You won't challenge me.
You won't
say
something.
Slap my wrist.
Crazy, right? So, yeah, I think Auburn absolutely should take the Indiana mindset and go get players that fit your system. To hell with the rankings. Because clearly at Auburn, it hasn't worked. And I think there are several reasons for that. It's not cookie cutter everywhere. Auburn has yet to find a competent head coach since the early days of Gus Malzahn, which, knock, knock, wink, wink, hint, hint, that was over a decade ago. Okay? I don't think Auburn is snake bit, but I do think Auburn has had some serious coaching problems. And if you find the right coach, you still can go get the 5 stars and highly ranked 4 stars. But Auburn needs to worry about Auburn and go find guys that fit your system on and off the field. And if you know what I'm hinting at there, then you know what I'm hinting at, and I will leave it at that.
Yeah.
You need to go get guys that fit what you're trying to do in every aspect of your program. That's why Indiana's the number one team in the country, folks. Kurt Cignetti's a pretty darn good coach. He's got great coordinators, and they're all getting paid, and they're there for a while. I've dropped this stat before, and I'll say it again. You know how many 5 stars Indiana has on their football team? The number one team in the country who just embarrassed Alabama in the Rose Bowl and well on their way to winning a national championship? Zero.
Hold up a 1.
And then put it down.
And then put it right back down.
Zero 5 stars. Do you think they care? Nope. They have a top 30, top 35 high school recruiting class. He's been there 2 years. They're going to the portal, and they're getting somebody from Toledo that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're going and finding guys that's like, oh, you do things the right way. You're pretty disciplined. You have a pulse and an IQ level above 50. We want you to play on our football team.
Look at the dude that was in New York holding up a trophy. Was Fernando Mendoza the most talented quarterback in college football this year? Not even close.
Or last year when he was in the portal? No. He was probably the 7th or 8th most popular quarterback name in the portal. But Indiana went and got him because they knew what he could do, and they believed that he would fit the system, and they knew he could deliver them when they needed to, right? So Auburn needs to adapt that mindset. I'm not saying completely abandon the rankings and that don't matter, because that's not true, but they don't mean nearly what they used to.
No, not at all.
And Auburn has got to take that mentality and run with it. Because what you've been doing has not worked. And you know who that falls on? Falls on John Cohen. That's the athletic director at that point. Because if you've had several failed head coaches on and off the field, right, just because you've had great talent doesn't mean the team chemistry and the team buildup and the team mantra was all there. And clearly it was not from the stories we're hearing now. Auburn's got to figure that out. That starts at the top. That starts with your athletic director, who I think has done a good job, and it seems like is allowing Alex Golish to change the way the Auburn football program is being run.
Before we get to break, Spector's calling in again. I think he wants to agree with us, which is, for Jacob, I know that's not a very popular thing for you.
No.
Spector, you're on the line, sir. Welcome back.
Well, I'm in a traffic situation right now.
Sounds like Auburn.
Well, listen, I do want to agree with you guys. And, you have to start not with the name brand players. You have to start building that team from the bottom up. And if you do that, if you have that foundation, you could take a mediocre or an average-type quarterback and receivers and make Heisman candidates out of them.
Mm-hmm. You've seen the proof of it.
That's right. And Indiana is absolutely the proof of it.
Yeah, it is. And that's what Auburn's got to do. I mean, why not change it up, right? And Alex Golish is a different coach. It's a different regime. I get that. But you've got to do something different, because look at some of these big programs too. Look at Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, who all they did was pay for the biggest and baddest names in the country. They're all sitting at home now watching the rest of the college football playoff. Just because you have the best talent doesn't mean you win national championships every year.
Now, I will say this. Now, when it comes to Nick Saban, he knew what to do with 4 or 5 stars.
Correct.
And I guarantee, if Nick Saban would have been in the Rose Bowl this year, I don't know if Indiana would have won or not.
I think that says more about the coaches in 2026 than anything else, because Saban in 2012 was so much better than the coaches we have right now, and I'm not afraid to say that at all.
That's right.
So,
all right, guys, I got to get out of this traffic.
Appreciate it, Spector. Be safe out there, my friend. Auburn's a wild place. Everybody's back in town now. I can feel it driving in today.
Oh, yeah. And before we head to break, this is not a direct number. And so take this exact number with a grain of salt, if you will. But say the word or use the number 4 million, right? Would you rather spend that on 2 or 3 receivers, or would you rather the receivers that you know the names of? Or would you rather do that with fantastic offensive linemen that you may not know, but you can develop and that are going to be rock solid, and that you learn the names of as the year goes on? Or hell, maybe you don't know the names of them because you don't hear their names with laundry on the field every other play.
Yeah.
Feels like that is a very simple task of being able to go get the guys that you want. If you want a more mobile quarterback and you want to run more of a dual threat system, go get offensive linemen that can move. How many times do we see it? Was it in the Rose Bowl that we were sitting there watching the center pull and be the lead blocker for running?
For like, Indiana.
That's something you just don't see.
Which is extremely difficult, by the way.
Right.
Pulling the center one way or the other, who is down in his stance, snaps the football, gets up, hauls his butt left or right, and picks up a block as the running back's going to the edge. Like, Auburn doesn't do that. Auburn can't do that. Auburn can't block 5-on-4. much less try to pull somebody, God forbid.
Right, exactly. Go get the guys in your system that may not have that five-star logo next to their name or may not be the name that you know, but it's developmental pieces or it's strength guys that you know fit your system, because then your 3- and 4-star receivers that you feel like are a little bit underdeveloped or a little bit underpolished or a little bit undervalued, all of a sudden they get that much better. Your quarterback gets that much better. Your running back gets that much more, that much better. And your defense ends up looking a lot better, too, because they don't have to play 40 minutes a game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, we've flown way past the break. We got to get to it. News that broke a little under an hour ago that we missed. More retention news for Auburn.
Tease it. Save it.
He's 6'2", 261 pounds. I'll let you guess what side of the football he plays on. It's right in line with what Auburn's been doing. We'll tell you who it is and talk about that and some basketball. Then Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network joins us, all coming up right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on. Oh, geez. That's really funny. We can't say what that was, but that's so funny, dude. The internet remains undefeated in 2026, and it's not gone anywhere. Don't show me this. Ew. Oh, no. Oh, goodness. All right, well, speaking of, we mentioned earlier our time management is pitiful. We have 2 minutes before we get to another break, and Jacob Hillman joins us, so tell you what. We'll save our Auburn basketball talk until we get to him. We'll probably, I don't know if we'll start with that or not. We'll figure out that. But we'll talk Auburn basketball as they did open up SEC play over the weekend. But about an hour ago, more Auburn football retaining news dropped as 6'2", 260 pounds, plays the buck position. Joe Phillips has announced his return to Auburn on the defensive side of the football. Redshirt freshman a year ago. That's an interesting one. A name that, I'll be honest, I think has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit for myself.
Sure.
But a name that I think is based off true potential. Somebody I believe has a chance to be very, very good. He's a monster, right? And gets after the football when he's in. But add that to the list, Christian. Add that to the list of guys on the defensive side of the football that Auburn has decided and convinced, hey, come back and play with us. Come back and play for us. Be a part of another special defense.
Not.
We have a minute.
Not the news, but other really big news.
Just dropped.
From our boy Christian Clemente. Jeremiah Koger.
Ooh. Wow.
38 catches, 597 yards, 8 touchdowns. 6'3", 210-pound receiver. That was number 2, if not number 3, but a big-time get that everybody was very excited when he mentioned his name into the transfer portal.
I think he was considered their number 2. But that guy has a chance to be the number 1. You said it's 6'3", and a rising sophomore. Add that to the list of an offensive player for Auburn with several years of eligibility.
And guess what? Maybe that could start the offensive trend. He's from St. Francis in Baltimore.
Oh.
You have that defensively. Why not get it offensively?
Auburn also has a SEC running back transfer on campus right now as well.
He was teammates with Blake Woodby, Bryce Diaz, and Darion Smith.
How about that? Wow. There you go. We'll talk about that and basketball with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network coming up after this.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what is a gorgeous Monday afternoon in the Auburn-Opelika area. And for the first time in the new year, we bring in our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, our longtime Monday 3:30 guest with us here on ESPN 106.7. Mr. Hillman, happy new year to you, my friend. Hope you had a happy holidays and got to see everybody that you wanted to.
Yeah, man, happy new year to you guys and everyone listening as well. Just like you said, it's a beautiful January day, and I probably wouldn't get too used to it, but hey, we'll take it when we can get it, and looking forward to the school year getting started back up and Auburn to be hustling and bustling again.
How many rounds of golf did you play over the Christmas break, Jacob?
Yeah, not enough. Not as many as I'd like to get in, but yeah, I got a few in, so it was good to do that, and now we're back to the grind.
He says a few like he didn't play five times in a two-week period.
Well, you know, five in like you said, 20 days. That's I could have done better with how.
Well, I shot too low. Apparently, sounds like he played, you know, seven or eight times. It sounds like. Well, you're living the life of Jacob Hillman, man. You can do whatever you need to do, but it's a busy time, and so you got to put the golf clubs away right now between the transfer portal and Auburn basketball. There is always something going on, and we bring you on to talk about both of those. And we'll start with what the big news is: the transfer portal for Auburn football, with news continuing to roll in, literally by the minute, by the hour, by the day, as Auburn is doing work twice, Hillman. They're doing work in the portal, and they're also doing work with retaining the roster. But we'll start with roster retainment, where Auburn now has 16 players who have officially announced that they will return to the Plains next year. 11 of those are going to be on the defensive side of the football, highlighted by guys like Xavier Atkins, Malik Autry, Anquan Fagans. Joe Phillips was the latest about an hour ago. Your thoughts on the players who have announced their goal, or their mean to return to Auburn next year?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal in the sense that you're retaining a strong core of young players that were really the highlight of the 2025 signing class, in the fact that Auburn really attacked the state of Alabama, especially on the defensive side, and succeeded in doing so. And these are guys that feels like they can develop into great SEC defenders. And whether that's DeMarcus Riddick from a couple of years ago, who struggled with that shoulder injury this year, or Xavier Atkins, who transferred in last year. And then you have the group of guys that you just mentioned, like Malik Autry and Elijah Melendez, Bryce Diaz, Anquan Fagans, Eric Winters, so on. These are the players that can really set the tone and help build the culture of Auburn football over the next few years, because it's not just a one-year deal for them. Hopefully they'll be around until they are either draft eligible or graduated or whatever that may be. And that goes specifically for the defensive side of the ball. Like you said, it's really defensive heavy, but I mean, you have guys like Cale Ellis coming back who really got thrown into the heat of things last year with the injury to Connor Lue, and I thought performed really well. And that's something that you can hang your hat on and look to someone like him to, all right, this is what Auburn is coming from, and this is where we're trying to get to. And I think that group of players can be the ones that you look back on and say, well, they laid the foundation for this program to try to rise back to the top, and hopefully they all develop into great players, as some of them already are.
You mentioned the defense, Jacob, having a lot of those veterans, or at least having the young guys that, for better or for worse, played a lot of very meaningful minutes their freshman and sophomore years, now working their way up, returning to the Plains. On the offensive side of the football, a little bit different. You're seeing a lot more names from South Florida, Alex Golish's guys, but when you're looking at the big picture, why would you want it any other way, right? I mean, I'm sure that him and DJ Durkin had the agreement. Durkin goes and gets the guys that he wants, keeps the names that he wants, and now you're seeing Alex Golish bring in a lot of his guys. You have a couple running backs, a couple of defensive guys as well, but the receiver room is something that you feel like that Alex Golish has tried to load up a little bit more, and Jeremiah Koger, South Florida's number two, was the most recent one about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, you kind of look at Auburn's roster this past year and how talented that receiver room was, and And a lot of those guys aren't here anymore. And the obviously, I think another big time kind of thing to focus on is that Auburn needs the numbers. It's not, I'm not saying it's quantity over quality at this point, but there is an aspect to it where you want to make sure you just fill out that roster. And, you know, the numbers are pretty low at this point. So however you can do that is going to be important. If it's guys that this coaching staff is very familiar with, of course, Cody Burns, he was on campus the day that Coach Gullish arrived. So, he's been right there in the thick of things since he was hired. And that's what's helping really translate to those transfers coming in. And I think it's a positive where, again, they're familiar with the system. They know what to expect. And while, again, there's a difference between Group of Five and Power Four and all that goes into that, SEC versus American, and that discussion that's ongoing. But I think what Coach Gullish has done is built a staff that can develop these guys into the Power Four players that they'll need to be. Of course, he has, his familiar friends like Cody Burns and Coach Gordon, but he's brought in plenty of other Power Four experience to really tie that together and help those guys develop. So I'll be really interested to see how things continue to trend over the next week. Of course, the portal's open until January 16th, and even when it closes, that doesn't mean that it's closed to players committing and signing. It just means that no one else can enter the portal other than those teams that are in the national championship. So that's kind of where I'm leaning towards, is that this might be kind of a slower rollout than maybe other teams have, just because, again, the vast number of signings that I think that this staff wants to make. So they want to make sure they do it the right way. But I think that you're going to see the biggest signings come early rather than later.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We've talked a ton of transfer portal stuff today on the show, and because of that, we've yet to get to basketball, which we wanted to talk about with you as Auburn enters SEC play and is actually underway in SEC play after a 104-100 loss on the road to Georgia on Saturday. Tigers start 0-1 with the road loss to the Dogs. They're back in action quickly tomorrow night against Texas A&M. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But what did you see from Auburn and Athens in a overtime loss that was dramatic to get to overtime, but the Tigers just ran out of gas?
No kidding. Dramatic was safe to say, and just a heck of a way to get to overtime with the three foul shots, the third one missed, and Kevin Overton coming in clutch with the rebound putback. And yeah, this game was an interesting one where it felt like Auburn had plenty of chances to take a lead and maybe even seize the game at some point and several points in that second half, and just never really was able to take the lead. And then you get into overtime, and Auburn starts off hot there but just can't finish, and Jeremiah Wilkinson had an incredible game, and Coach Pearl really wasn't happy with the defensive effort, especially with the one-on-one defense and especially on the perimeter. So those are the things that you look ahead, and Auburn's going to play a lot of great guards like that. And that's something that has to improve. And, you know, I thought there were certain aspects that looked good against Georgia. Auburn out-rebounded the Bulldogs, I think, by 15. That's a number that you'd like to see continue. And I was a little surprised to see. And the shooting wasn't all that bad. I thought the three-point shooting could have been a little bit better. I mean, you look at Tahad Pettiford, he misses 8 threes, but, I mean, how many of them were really bad looks? I don't think very many were. And that goes for other guys on the team as well. But it's something that I think Auburn's continuing to grow and gel. And while it's getting late sooner than later, it's going to have to come together here in the SEC. And if it is, it's going to happen pretty quickly just because of the caliber of teams that you're playing. Of course, you got Texas A&M tomorrow night, a fast-paced, Bucky McMillan-led team with several high-quality transfers, and then you host John Calipari in Arkansas. So you have two home games that I think you have two different styles that you're going up against, and they'll really test this Auburn defense in the fact that I think that that's what needs to grow the most over the next few weeks before you get into the really gritty part of SEC play. When you go to the defending national champions, you go to Tennessee at Thompson Bowling Arena, you host Alabama, you host a Vanderbilt team that has one of the most explosive offenses in the country at this point. So I think these next few weeks are very critical for this Auburn defense to try and come together and figure out what can be solved from these last few games.
Well, you may have hit on it a little bit of my next question was, yeah, what do you want to see by the time we talk to you next? And you mentioned A&M here tomorrow, the 8 o'clock game on SEC Network, and then the ESPN game, the 5 o'clock game against John Calipari and Arkansas, who many consider to be the most complete team, the most talented overall team in the SEC as of right now. Defensively, you hit on anything else that you would like to see from Auburn? Again, you get back-to-back home games. What better way to kind of right the wrongs and steer the ship in the right direction before you hit that major part that you're talking about in the middle of the season?
Yeah, it's really going to be about the guards and their defensive effort, whether it's Taha Pettiford or Caden Magwood or Kevin Overton or even your bigger guards like Elijah Freeman and Keyshawn Hall. How do they guard the perimeter and what how does this team continue to improve? Because like I said, I was happy with the rebounding effort. I was happy with the way Auburn turned turnovers into points on Saturday, but it's got to be better in the half-court set. And, I mean, you're going to face some really good guards this upcoming week. One, you're facing the Texas A&M team that runs up and down the floor like crazy, just being led by Bucky McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Darius Acuff coming into town with Arkansas, who's probably the best guard in the SEC right now.
Sure.
And that's going to be your biggest test until you start playing some of those more experienced and more talented teams later down the road. So this will be the chance for these guards to really show what they're made of and hopefully make this coaching staff happy and pleased with the effort they put out and go from there. Because, again, while I think that this defense the interior, it lacks a little bit of size and things like that, but that's why it's up to these guards to really press the issue, whether that's forcing turnovers or just not letting these teams shoot three the way that some previous teams' opponents have against Auburn. So that's kind of where I see it going, because if Auburn continues to rebound this way, then it really does come up to the perimeter defense and how it plays.
We got our guy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us as he joins us every single Monday at 3:30, and we appreciate your time as always. Wanted to see, Hillman, if you agreed with us. We've had conversations with this or on this Auburn basketball team and talking about an X factor, right? I mean, you have Taha Pettiford, you have Keyshawn Hall. You feel like those are your 1-2 punches, but many times, sometimes you need that third score, you need that fourth score, or you need that third guy to step up defensively. Do you have one guy that you single out that you look for every single game that can possibly be that X factor that can get you over that hump in SEC play?
It's a really interesting question, because what I viewed on Saturday was a lack of killer instinct from this team, where I don't know what it was, and maybe it's credit to Georgia for playing as well as it did. And I think Georgia is a top 25 team as it is ranked right now. But I just felt like there no one really wanted to take over. Yes, like you said, Taha Pettiford and Keyshawn Hall are dynamic scorers. But I look at Elijah Freeman, especially what's transpired over the last few weeks, where the Chattanooga game, he volunteers to bench himself so that Sebastian Williams Adams can get in. Auburn has a better passer on the floor, and that trend has continued. And Elijah Freeman had those 27 points on Monday against Queens, and you know, it's one of those things where if he can continue to come off the bench and provide a spark. And it doesn't have to be 27 points every night, because obviously that's not going to happen. That's asking a lot of the transfer sophomore. But he had 14 points against Georgia, and if he can sit in that 15 to 20 point range consistently, that's the kind of spark that you're looking for off the bench. And I think what he provides, as well as what Sebastian Williams Adams did, he didn't score in 42 minutes of action, but he got to have 7 rebounds and dished out a couple of assists and didn't foul a lot or turned the ball over a lot. So those are the kinds of things that I look at as X factors, is how does Elijah Freeman continue to perform coming off the bench?
Well, Hillman, as we wrap up here, it's been great to catch up with you. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked, and obviously there's a ton going on between the transfer portal and college basketball season, both men's and women's in full swing. And, hey, baseball, softball will be here before we know it. So tell everybody what's going on, how they can keep up with everything you guys are up to at the Auburn Sports Network this week.
Yeah, classes are back in session on Wednesday, so it's a full week of Auburn athletics, including basketball tomorrow against Texas A&M, Neville Arena, 8 o'clock Central, 7:30 on the air on Wings 94.3 FM. And then on Thursday, it's a doubleheader with Tiger Talk at Baumhauer's Victory Grill, also on Wings 94.3 FM. We'll have Stephen Pearl. We'll have Jeff Graba to preview the opening to the gymnastics season. And then we'll have football coach Alex Golish on the program as well. And then women's basketball will travel to Texas to face the second-ranked Longhorns at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 106.7. So Tiger Talk right into women's basketball at Texas. And then on Friday night, gymnastics host NC State at 7 o'clock Central inside Neville Arena for first meet on the Plains. Tickets are available at auvtix.com. And then wrapping it up for the week, basketball host Arkansas, top 20 Arkansas team looking like, as I think as you guys said, the team to beat in the SEC currently. That's a 5 o'clock Central with a 4:30 airtime on Saturday on Wings 94.3 FM.
Hillman, we appreciate it as always, my friend. Happy New Year once again. We look forward to running it back for another year with you on our show. You're a huge part of it. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, guys. Happy New Year and War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every Monday, 3:30, right here on ESPN 106.7. Speaking of Auburn basketball, as we go to break, we got a text in our on-the-line text box. Again, it's always open, 334-784-1067 in regard to basketball. And it asks, did we ever hear why Tahad didn't start on Saturday against Georgia? And we did. We did hear that. Stephen Pearl was asked about it and gave a pretty fiery quote about that. We'll talk about it when we come back and wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does every Monday. Been a great show. He was awesome. Talked a lot of portal with him. Talked a lot of good Auburn basketball with him as well, as the Tigers start SEC play 0-1. After their loss to Georgia on Saturday, we talked all things portal in hour number one and even in hour number two as well. That's the talk of the town right now. So if you missed any of our evaluations of what's already happened with the portal, with retainment, with guys coming back and guys who could leave and some things that are still up in the air, or even some of the breaking news that we had in the 2 hours we were on the air, be sure you go back and listen to our show. You can catch the podcast version on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Speaking of Auburn basketball, on our way out, we got a text that asked if we ever learned on why Tahad Pettiford did not start on Saturday at Georgia. And we did. Stephen Pearl was asked about it post-game, and his quote is, "It was a coach's decision. It was a failure to meet our team's standards and expectations. Tahad's got to do a better job of leading by example, and that is something we continuously talk about." Pearl went on to say, quote, "Until he does those things off the court, he's got to stop putting me in these positions where I have to make difficult decisions. That's part of growth, and that's part of learning." He says, "We made the decision yesterday, being Friday, and he had a great practice and response to it yesterday, but got some things that he's got to fix if he's not going to live up to those expectations, and that's to all of them. We told everybody when we got back from Purdue, we got to tighten some things up a little bit." And he went on to talk about that a little bit more. "It's got to be upheld," is what he said.
Says, "We've got a standard. We have an expectation in this program, and it is going to be upheld."
We'll see if that message was received after a 4-point overtime loss to Georgia with a talented Texas A&M team coming in late tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena. We'll talk about that coming up on tomorrow's show, plus more transfer portal news. I promise you there will be something to talk about with Auburn. Plus, we will zoom out and look at other news around the SEC and college football. Don't you worry, though. The system's getting fixed. The College Sports Commission says so. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.